Well, hello, this is Chris Parker, and I have had a conversation with Hedwig Bossing on the podcast. And Hedwig talked about a metaphor, a concept that he created called the beads of life. And it's a mental metaphor about real reflecting on events in your past and anticipating in your future that is helpful not only for individuals, but also teams, and also people with some like dementia and other conditions like that. And we talk about all of this in this really amazing discussion. So Hedwig, why do you feel this would be really valuable for people to listen to this?
I think this metaphor helps to make life, which is very complex, maybe your own life is the most complex there is, to dissect it and create a perspective on your life and experiences and coming to a point where you say, okay, I better understand why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. And since there is a past, there is a present, and there's also a future. And if you're unhappy about things in your past, you can make decisions about your future. And I think this metaphor helps to arrange it and to clarify it and keep it very simple and focused. Simplicity is the key, I guess.
The Business Simplicity Podcast, where we learn about strategies and tactics to succeed through simplicity, with your host, Chris Parker.
And welcome back to the Business Simplicity Podcast. This is Chris Parker, and I'm having a conversation with Hedwig Bossing. And he is, an old-time friend, and he's a man of many careers. I think some might consider him retired, but in his retirement, he's a general manager of a golf course and involved in software and sharing some amazing concepts. In the past, looking at his amazing CV on LinkedIn, I think time at KLM, currently still, I think, a visiting professor. Of course, he's managed, I guess, a rental property, a holiday property platform, hospitality, travel, that is his area of eminent expertise. And not so long ago, I was having a conversation with him, and he mentioned a concept called the beads of life. And I was like, oh my God. And we got into that a little bit. And I'm so delighted and appreciative that he's willing to share that, you know, in the conversation. But before we get into the beads of life, Hedwig, I'm curious. I introduced you a little bit, but how would you introduce yourself? What does Hedwig do?
Well, in general, you put part of my CV on the podium. The actual thing I learned since 1979, when I joined KLM, I opened the box with Wang on the side, containing a text processor with a 5 megabyte drive as big as a laundromat, is that I learned something about ICT being a pioneer. And that's, you have two sides, the side with the problem and the side with the solution. And the two can't talk to each other. They miscommunicate a lot. So actually, the threat to my life is always being in the middle of those two worlds, being a translator from the one side to the other. And that gave me a lot of joy and made me quite successful.
We could talk hours about just problem thinking and solution thinking. And I love how you stated it, that those two cannot talk to each other. For me, I think those are different energies, and they cannot even connect. And so when I do facilitating work or workshops or large projects, I really try to create the space for the problem and get that out of your system, and then somehow taking a break and then come back with a fresh mind, fresh eyes, fresh body, and start looking at the solution. Because what I frequently find is people try to do it all at once, and you just get a bigger mess. So, but maybe that's not the, well, I don't know. Maybe there is some connection there with the beads of life.
There is every experience, and even a 30-second conversation can be a bead. So it doesn't matter how much time it took. It's important how much impact it had.
So let's just jump into it. Can you share the origin of the beads of life? Where did this come from? And then we'll get into a little bit about what is the concept of Visa Life. So, but like, how in your journey did this concept originate? Yeah. And then we'll explain to them what it actually is.
At the point in time, Pine and Gilmore, Joe Pine, they wrote a book, The Experience Economy. I read the book. I went to sessions. I met Joe, had dinner with him, discussed it. And it's really excited me, because I believe that in the way he presents creating value and ever evolving, it's a very interesting line of thought. But to make it practical, I tend to be quite practical. There's enough academics in this world, nothing to blame for, but I'd like to get things done. So I'd like to make that operational. And then I thought, okay, what's an experience? Experience is experienced by a human being. And how does a human being experience something? Well, simply by receiving signals through his senses, his or her senses, hearing, seeing, feeling, tasting, and the sixth sense, feeling something which is not really there, maybe. So if you do that and you think about when I go to Disney and I go to one of the attractions and I make the ride and I get out and I think, wow, what an amazing experience. What has happened to my senses during that ride and before that ride and after that ride? And if you take it apart, you say, okay, I went into the line, I had a nice conversation, I was entertained, I went into the pre-hall, I saw things happening, I got into a cart, it moved around, I got into a 3D cinema, there was hot air blowing in my face, and then water drops were sprinkled, etc. Then you see you can develop, you can engineer an experience. And this is in a commercial attraction, right? But actually in real life, it works the same. If you go to a theater and an actor is on stage and he touches your senses with his or her skills, it's also an experience created. And if you're on a birthday party and things happen, it's an experience. It touches your senses. Mm. So human being as being a machine with senses as receptors, collecting impulses which create in your mind an experience, and yeah, you get the wow feeling or you don't get it, right? So that's one side of the story. But then thinking about experience and life, if you think of your life as a wire, you don't know how long the wire is. It's a wire. You know about your past, you don't know nothing about your future. You don't know, and many people don't even want to know how long the wire will be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about your life as a wire, that makes the length, makes a time scale. So if you look at an experience and you see the experience as a beat which is on that line from your first awareness, the first experience, the first beat on your thread of life, it's, what is it? And then every minute, every second, every day, every week, every month, new beats line up on your chain, shaping your past. And a beat can be 30 seconds, very small beat, can be golden, very impressive and important, can be a 1.5 year black beat being in prison. So actually your life is, the past is a range of beats. And if you look at now, how do I feel now? Is a result of the accumulation of all those experiences. But since the threat has a future, it forces you to think about the now and the future. So it's not just about the past. The past has a future. And if in the past your experiences were maybe predominantly forced on you by others, making you a victim of whatever happened, or they've all been chosen by yourself, make you a free spirit, being very happy, maybe not always successful, but always in control and always thrived on your own decisions, two complete different lives, two complete different results. But maybe the two persons are just as sad or as happy given their different paths. Mm. Then the next thing is, and now, What's the next beat? Somebody else forcing it onto me? Am I choosing it? Am I shaping it? So it helps you to evaluate where am I now and why do I feel what I feel, but it also forces you to think about, and from now on, what's going to happen? Do I make it happen? Does it happen to me? It will always be a mix of the two. Things will happen to you. You may decide to do things which make things happen. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But at least it puts you in a position of responsibility. Who is responsible for the beats on your chain? You. And that's a simple metaphor. It's free of values, because any beat on anybody's chain can be anything. There's no opinion, there's no logic, there is no scientific proof of anything. It's just a metaphor which helps you to put your whole life, past, present, and future, into perspective.
Well, what emerges in me as you share this with me again is, imagine this is my wire or string, and I have beads of the past. I, like everyone, has judgment and has attributed a judgment, a good, a bad, a highlight, a low light, a sorrow, a joy. I don't think we can change the beads per se. So now I'm sort of fixating on the past. I'm sure we'll talk about the future. But I don't think we can change the beads per se, but I do imagine we can reframe our judgment or our emotional reaction to the past. And I was talking with someone recently, and the mention was, if you stick with a, if you do the work through a trauma, for example, that trauma can become the best gift of your life if you do the work, you know. And so that the bead of the trauma, whatever that, and everyone has trauma, still is on your string, but then it's attributed a different emotional meaning. Do you follow that, or how does that connect with the beads?
I think, first of all, since you talk about experiences as beads, there's the limiters. There's a start and an end of each experience. So the trauma also gets dissected into parts of the trauma. And there were things before the trauma and things after the trauma. So it clarifies the focus on what am I actually talking about? What was the experience? Was it something somebody said to me? Did I feel physical pain? Did I get hurt and did I not recover or completely recover from the injury I had? So I think the metaphor helps you to be more specific about what is the experience inside that beat and what was it caused by. And when saying, okay, thinking about it again, time having passed, maybe you misinterpreted something. Somebody said something to you, not with the intention to hurt you, but it hurt you. And the beat is the beat. You can't change the beat, but you can change the perception of the beat.
Right.
So you can deal with it in your mind. It can feel, can become less painful by evaluating it the way we just did. And you can create new beats to compensate bad beats for the future. So also there, the metaphor helps you to think about solutions, either to improve your feeling without the help of others or using the help of others or your own initiative to compensate.
And if you say the statement that, you know, you are not the events that happen to you, you are your true self, I guess in this case you could say that you is the string or the wire. And it's, and we're not really being defined by the beads. You know, I think that you know, the events happen to you, whether it was even intended for you or not.
You can take the metaphor and you can take it from your view to the views of others. Another person doesn't necessarily have to see the same string of beads as you see, while they are the same. And some beads may be joint beads. Eh? We have beads together. On your string, there are beads we made together. But your string is different. So the context of our joint experience is also different.
Wow. I just imagine, it just blew into my mind that there's actually this whole grid of intersecting strings as well. If you really want to make it more complicated, that there is a connectedness, because we have so many beads shared over the years. And we have beads that are completely independent. And I'm certain the meaning we give to those beads is different as well, because we were in different places and we've become, you know, different people.
Absolutely. And that's, but since what I said, the metaphor is free of values, it's a very powerful tool, because you can never get into a fight over the metaphor. You can get into a fight, or you can enjoy lots of things which happened in experiences, but not about the metaphor. The metaphor is free of values.
And taking it forward, I believe many people, most people, all people, unless they've done some work on this, will be unconsciously operating in a bit of default in their life, unless some major trigger has shifted their life fundamentally. But in the absence of an outside trigger or change event, my guess is a lot of the types of beads they will be attracting and putting on their string will be very similar to those in their past, unless there is an intention change of like, wait a second, through some work, I'm redefining the meaning I give to historical beads, and then making a conscious choice to reject those types of beads again, or at least that meaning for that type of beads, and perhaps redefining the perception, but also seek a different color and shape and style of bead. Yeah. I think that can be very powerful as well.
Exactly. Well, since it puts you to thinking, one day I heard a remark, which is to me very truthful, is an insult is a gift you don't have to accept.
Mm.
Now, if you have a bead on your chain which was an insult but hurt you, with this new knowledge, maybe you would have dealt with it differently if you had this wisdom. So also there's, if you look at what do I learn, how can I use it to be better or to improve world or life, then every other science starts working. But the metaphor is just a guideline of keeping things simple. And what you said, if you look at this interwoven beats of life from every person, 7 billion in the world, you lose track. It's chaos. But when you bring it back to your own part of that whole constellation, it's very simple.
Something I'm working on, before the end, we're going to get into how this has been applied, because I know it's been applied in some university settings and some different things, and some real amazing outcomes have come from this. But I'm inspired to, because something in my life that I'm working on is not only in the spirit of not wanting to repeat past activities out of default, out of unconscious default, and being more intentional to seek more beads that I consider desirable, the stretch that I'm also taking is to be open to the completely unexpected, the unknown, and as a way of expecting delight and adventure and a rich life, you know, and fascinating interactions I'm curious, like how, I guess we're getting pretty metaphysical here. How can you attract beads, attract and seek to put beads on your wire that you are unable to even comprehend because you simply don't know them?
Well, of course, there's always the unexpected because it's unexpected. So the beads is created without you being in control.
Mm.
And that's the purest bead, completely out of control. You get submerged in something and it creates through your senses, it creates an experience which you never expected to happen. And the opposite is thinking you can be in complete control of the next beat, which is very unlikely. And in between, there's things, okay, if I wish for a certain beat, what can I do to come as close to it as I really would like, knowing you won't be in complete control? Okay, immerse yourself in a certain setting, create the setting, go looking for it, take the risk, jump off the cliff, jump into the water. I think if two people apply this metaphor to their own lives, they can have more intense conversations and new experiences can be created by better understanding what an experience is and what you can do to enjoy it. I just took my wife, well, I didn't take my wife, my wife and I, we went together traveling through Europe, Austria, Italy, Switzerland, and we love to have good food and a nice glass of wine and to see beautiful things. And we have been in many amazing places. And the combination of the three, adding love to it after 44 years of marriage, makes me a completely happy man. And her a completely happy woman, if she really reflects what I think she's telling me, which I trust, of course.
Yeah. And have you, we're getting into application of the metaphor. Have you had meaningful discussions with yourself and with her about your beads on your string to date and desired beads moving forward? And like, how does that help you in your own life?
Well, first of all, anxiety, if you get upset or you get confused or you start doubting, when age progresses, and 5 years ago I was diagnosed with a form of cancer, which I got rid of in the past 5 years, that really upsets life, not for you, but also for your family, your wife, your children. I have two sons, their partners, grandchildren. And that makes you really think about, okay, what's going to happen? And then you have scenarios. So suddenly your string has different outlooks, the short string, the longer string. And then you realize that connecting in a open way to your environment, surroundings, the people you deal with is the most important. Don't hide things. Don't make them nicer than they are. Don't make them poorer than they are. Just be straight. Express your feelings. Let others engage on your feelings. And when you do that, you build a new beat together from something which was very disrupting the moment you got this message. Mr. Wassing, I have bad news for you, because that's the first sentence in a telephone call you get, or during the visit you're diagnosed with whatever came out of the research, right? And there's also milder forms of bad news or good news, but to deal with it together, and then this metaphor of thinking in beats. So the next thing is happening is not the end of everything. It's not the pipe which you put on the wire from start to finish. It's beats. Every beat has a new start. Every beat has a new ending. So you can also experiment. Take the risk of getting a nice beat and not getting it. Well, there's a next beat. Why be worried? You're not predestined. Anyway, I feel I'm not predestined.
Yeah, I think it can open up so much potential understanding of self and others, and also redefining, because in what I also observe in myself and I think in everyone is, without doing some type of work on it, if tomorrow a bead shows up in an interaction that I attributed a meaning to and an emotion to, a frustration or anger yesterday, and the same bead shows up tomorrow, if I don't reframe that judgment, then I will be sort of just unconsciously continually living in anger or frustration as these beads keep landing on my string. But that's completely unnecessary, meaning, yeah. Hey, the bead's there, but the bead itself does not carry an emotion. It's simply something that happened, and you experienced it with your senses, and it had a beginning and an end.
Exactly. But it's a technical storage of what your senses collected in its pure form. The ICT side of the business. I wrote an article, The Nerd and the Poet, the beta type of guy and the alpha type of guy. They should go to lunch more often. They get a better conversation and more understanding of both sides of the world. And that's also in this metaphor. It's on one side, it's very technical, very almost cold. On the other side, it's hot. It's very emotional. It brings the two together.
In a fascinating way, you mentioned that in the past that someone in a university has been using this with people with dementia. Can you share that story?
Well, during the COVID period, when all pubs were closed, I ended on the front doorstep of a pub which handed out coffee through the window. And I talked to a guy who was doing the same, and I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm in education." And so, sometimes I give some lessons in the university in Breda. He says, "Also work in Breda." He did it at Advance. I did it at Breda University of Applied Sciences. And we started talking about what. I said, "Well, I'm mainly a professor and a visiting professor in digital economy skills." And he said, "I'm more in the social sector, healthcare, well-being, and we think also more about digital." That's how the conversation started. A few days later, same doorstep, different cup of coffee, continued the conversation. I said, "Well, I have the feeling that technology in healthcare and well-being is a tool for efficiency. And why not think about a tool for effectiveness? Not making it cheaper to do the same, but having the same thing, getting more effect." And I said, I have another idea. And I explained to him about beads of life. And he studied theology. So his background is very much into this. And then we start applying it. So he shared it with students. Students understood it. And he said, "Let's try it on ourselves first." So every student had to describe three of the beads on their chain, which of course created an atmosphere of openness. There was between 25 students who would normally have sit across from each other, arms crossed, looking at each other, waiting for the other to start the conversation. Within day one of their project, they got into an intimate conversation about the deeper thoughts in life. Wow. A team, almost an instant team, all differences mentioned, but all differences put on the side at the same time, because you can be different, right? And then about these people with dementia, and I have the experience with my mother-in-law, 3.5 years before she passed away. We've been through all the things that happen. Terrible disease, you say farewell twice, the first time when they don't remember you, the second time when they pass away. Different emotions. And the one thing you learn if you are with a person with dementia is only the now counts. The now counts. But the good things in the now come from the past. And then this metaphor helps, because if you put a metaphor in that situation, the demented person, their chain break, the beads drop into the water. Some sink, some keep afloat. Bad beads, good beads. So I talked to the students. I said, if you are in touch with these people, you have a conversation with them, which is one side conversation, because you ask them, did your children visit you last week? Yes, this morning I cleaned the windows. That's what the conversation happens when you talk to people with dementia. So I said, if in those contact moments you detect, you go searching for the floating, bright, shining beads, they're good memories. And you create a booklet, a multi-sensory booklet, and it's a plastic cover. It has two batteries. You can record voice, you can record music. There is envelopes in which you can insert a text or a picture or a piece of cloth or a dried plant thing. So you get all the senses into the booklet, and all those things represent shiny floating beads. And you give them that as a present. Every day to them, the book is new. Every time they get a visitor and conversation stops, they open the book and whole new conversation starts again. And the pace of replacement of the batteries proves the success of the project. First year, we started with one booklet, the second year, 15. And now the numbers go up. And the people in the school, there's 25 places for this minor. It always get, what do you call it, oversubscribed with 35. And normally they take 30. The people in the home where they work with the demented people, they say, finally, students who come to help me, not just take time away from me. And the old people, they get an extra grandchild. And the children, the students, get extra grandparents. And the family gets connected. Where do the shining beads come from? They come from the picture book of the family. They come from the voices of the children and the grandchildren. So it really brings something together around this dementing person. So it creates happiness in a very sad situation. And that's just one application which has proven itself over the past 3 years. And I never imagined this could come out of just thinking about what's an experience in a clinical and in an emotional way.
And if people want to learn more about that project, if you will, whom can they call, or where can they read about it?
And if they look at my LinkedIn profile, Hedwig Wassing, if you Google it, there's no two persons in the world with the same name. And all my contact data are on my profile. I'm happy to share my thoughts if they contact me. The Avans University and Christian Robin, who's working with me on it, he published on it. Students have case studies which they worked in their traineeship doing this work together with the institution. So there's more and more material to get inspiration from. And if you think about, okay, would it work in this situation? Just contact me. I'll think along with you. It's a simple metaphor. It's easy to apply. Keep it clean. Don't add things. Keep it as simple as this. Keep it free of values. Use it well. Yeah. Don't abuse it.
And I'll put links in the show notes. And one thing we do ask is if people use the metaphor beads of life like this, then please give Hedwig and his company Anacom the credit and attribute this there. Great. So, and if someone's triggered by this and they would like to by themselves apply this to their own life, their own string, what could they do just after they're finished listening to this, just to sit down, close their eyes and apply the beads of life metaphor to themselves?
I think it would help if you would take a pen and piece of paper and describe the beads. Start describing the beads. Yeah, say, okay, like when did it happen?
Yeah.
How much time did it cover? What emotions did I get? What did I feel, hear, taste? What did my senses receive? So describe the beat in those terms. It's coming from the impression on your senses and the final effect. Did it make you happy? Did it make you sad? And then if you do that, then your life is not just a blend of everything. It becomes very distinct, separate experiences, highs and lows, long and short, close and far away. Gives dimension to your life, creates a universe of your past.
Beautiful. Hedwig. Thank you so much. It's inspirational. I love its simplicity. I'm sure the applicability is almost endless, because everyone has beads in their lives and seeing them as these moments, you know, experienced through your senses, without judgment, to be able to reframe that judgment. And in some cases, like you shared with people with dementia, that their string has broken. And, of course that can be traumatic for the whole family system. And if this is a way to bring just a bit more beauty, joy, life, to that otherwise difficult situation, what a gift. So, wow. Thank you. So, anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up? I'll just open it up for anything that's emerging in you.
Well, not really, but I'd like to thank you, Chris, for taking up the initiative to do this podcast with me. We've done nice things together, business-like things, spiritual things. We have joined friends, all walks of life. And I look back on that with great pleasure. And well, the only thing I can say, thank you for giving me this opportunity. And I hope what we did today will create an impact on lives of others. That's the only thing I can wish for.
Mm. I believe so. And I cherish those beads we have together. So beautiful.
Me too.
And if a couple things, if Joe or Hedrick mentioned Joe Pine, I have had Joe on the podcast before, much earlier in the evolution of this. I'll put a link to that episode around the experience economy. And that can give you a little bit of a flavor, or you can just read the experience economy book by Joe Pine and Gilmore. I think that is such a shift in thought around how experiences are driving our lives. I think it was just a seminal work. And of course, in the show notes, Hedwig Wassing, so that's Wassing, also in the show notes. And as he said, there's only one of those in the world, so you can find them easily. There's a few more Chris Parkers running around, so you have to search a bit harder for that. And I would urge you, if you are interested in learning more, or if you have a use case or a way to apply that, then please reach out to Hedwig and see if you can make magic together. So Hedwig, thank you so much. This was beautiful.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for listening. Visit ebullient.com to download the Simple Business Design Framework. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player.